tooth, his teeth. That's how, why, what's the difference between what the Chacham is saying and what the Rasha is saying? Both of them are really saying, what is this? What are you doing here?
Because supposedly the Chacham is saying it out of love to really understand. And the Rasha is saying, see what it is? What are you telling me with all the problems?
But the Rasha also takes himself out of it. It's not part of it.
What is the Chacham saying? He says, what are the testimonies, chukim, and status that Hashem, our God, commanded you?
He also takes himself.
What's the difference?
You instead of us.
So is this exactly what the Rasha is saying?
Yeah.
What's the difference? What is the difference? I'll tell you what the
difference
is.
The intent of the individual.
Where do you see it?
But you don't see it.
You don't see
it. You see it. In a minute you'll see it. You will see it in a minute. It's written. You don't have to go so far. It's written very clearly here. Listen again. What is he saying? What are the testimonies, chukim, and status that Hashem, our God? What is the Rasha saying? What is this service to you?
He's not part of it, it's to you.
And here he is a part of it.
Yeah.
He says, our God.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't care about God at all. What is this thing you're doing? In other words, it looks the same, but it's not the same. And then, the Rasha, what do we answer him? What is this thing? If you have been there, you wouldn't be redeemed. Is this a nice thing to say to your child that sits on the Seder night? Or, maybe we don't read it right. Says the Rav Ezrachi, an unbelievable explanation, or let's put it, says. He says, when we read this, a lot of times we read it in the wrong melody. What does it mean?
It's the tone.
How do you say it? He says, the Rasha is your son. The fact that he's sitting on the Seder night table is already good. So you don't want to send him away. You want to bring him closer. How do you do this? You tell him. My dear son, the way you look at things is terrible. You know, you are making your parents very, very sad. Because if this is your attitude, we will have a problem. You will, chas v'chalila, not be redeemed. So now, you're approaching your son, this Rasha, to his heart. He loves you. That's the reason he sits on the Seder night. And of course, parents love their child. So you don't send him away. Don't say him, if you had been there, you wouldn't go out. That's not the way you say it. He says, my dear son, if this is your approach, oh, it's terrible. Do you know you are going to cause us so much pain when we will go out and God won't let you come with us? Do you know how we're going to feel? Is this going to move something there? Of course. In other words, there's also a way how to read it. And in other words, the Russia that we're talking about here is not the way we think. The fact that he's on the Seder table is already good. The Rabbi Mechabad used to say that we have four glasses of wine, then we have the fifth for Eliyahu HaNavi. Says the fifth is not for Eliyahu HaNavi. The fifth is for the fifth son that doesn't even bother to come to the Seder table. So the Rasha is in a higher level. And now, what is the Chacham really saying? The Chacham is saying, I don't understand why you, my parents, have to sit here and talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim while you do this the whole year round. You every day, and you went through who knows how many Seder nights. I understand why I need it, but I don't understand why you need it. It's a very clever question. Because what he's really saying is, you know it all. So what is this mitzvah that you should sit at the Seder night and talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim? What? You don't know it?
The teacher to him.
He says, but if I'm not there, he knows. He is clever. He knows that even if there is no son to ask question, we have to ask the question and we have to talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Even afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, that says the Agada. Even if we're all clever, wise people, know the Torah, we have a mitzvah that night to talk about it, to tell stories about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now he looks at it and says, well, don't you understand that children need to hear stories about Yetziat Mitzrayim? But why do you need to hear stories about Yetziat Mitzrayim? And you know what the answer is? And Afikomon may not be served at the be the last. I cannot see. And Afikomon may not be served as a last course after the Pesach lamb. It's beautiful. The explanation here already gives you the answer. What is the answer? What is the answer? The clever guy asked, what are all those rules and chukim and mishpatim? What are all those stories? And what do you answer him? You're not eating anything after the Korban Pesach. Which, by the way, the Korban Pesach is the afikoman, which we call afikoman. But in Aramaic, afikoman is dessert. In other words, you don't eat after what we call afikoman, dessert. You're not allowed to eat anything. After we finish the Seder night, we eat, the last thing we do is the afikoman. With this, we go to bed. Now, what you tell me, what is this answer to the clever? What's an answer here? What is the connection between the answer and the question? Huh? You read it every year. Every year we read it. Did you think about it? What is the difference? I don't understand. What is the connection between the answer and the question? He is asking, what are all those stories and all those laws and all those chokim? Says, you don't eat anything after the fikoma. Is this an answer?
No.
No? What's going on here? I told you, what is the question of the clever guy? The wise guy is asking, you know it all. But here we come to a very important point. In life, things that we do all the time, we get used to it. In other words, we say Yetziat Mitzrayim every day. Yes, we remember Yetziat Mitzrayim every day. So why do we need a special night? If we, every day we talk about it, we remember it, why do we need a special night to sit the whole night and talk about it? Why?
To reaffirm.
Why? What is the problem? Why is it not enough? Every day, a few times a day, I remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. What is so important that I have to sit the whole night and talk about a thing that I'm talking about the whole year?
Because you're making at that particular point as though you're actually living it. When you say it every day, you're not saying it, you won't get that kind of feeling.
In other words, you get used to it. And with seeing everything around us, all the things that's happening, we sometimes think that Obama and Hezbollah and Netanyahu and all the others, Daesh, they are controlling the world. But who is controlling the world?
Hashem.
But do we really believe in it? Don't we have any doubts?
We have doubts, but we have to believe, because otherwise...
That's why. But, okay, so we remember every day, we remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim, a few times a day. Why is it not enough? Because we get used to it. And when we get used to things, we just do them. How many people listen to what they say? Zecher Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Zecher Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Okay, what's Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Zecher Yitzhak Mitzrayim. What? Ah, what?
They dubbing that. It's like you know what they're saying by anything.
It's like the story I used to tell.
But you get used to it. You don't think every day when you're dubbing about the words. Very few people think all the time about everything. Sometimes I read the entire Shema, and I realize afterwards that I haven't really thought of anything. I was thinking of something else.
Yeah, always.
You have to start again.
It's very hard to
concentrate.
In other words, we realize that things are not so simple. In other words, we can get to a point that if we won't have Seder night, because we say it every day and remember it every day, but we do it, what we call mitzvat anashim melumada. But we live in a real world. We have a problem here, in the business, with the family, and the world. And we start thinking that it's not God. Or let's say it's God, but there are also other things. Or the emunah is not so strong anymore. So that's why we have a special night. That in that night, we tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim to understand the 10 plagues. Who controls everything? Who created everything? God. God. The whole night we sit and talk about it. Now, what is this with the answer? Do we have any clue? What's this connected to the answer? En maftirim achar ha-pesach ha-fikoman. After eating the korban pesach, you don't eat dessert, you don't eat anything. What the father is answering the clever son is, you're right. We talk about it every day, a few times a day, but unfortunately, it's not a part of us. Because life has power. And the power of life, and us getting used to say it, takes the sting out of it. And we don't feel it so much. So, at that night, we go to bed with a taste of what?
Of
the Korban Pesach, in order to take the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim to the Pesach and to the year after. That's why we stay with the taste of Pesach. Because if we eat something afterwards, we'll forget. In other words, this is a clever question and a very clever answer. It's like this guy who had a sore throat. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him those, those capsules, or those...
Lozenges,
whatever you call it. And after a week, he comes back, cannot talk. He says, what happened? Another dead. Cannot talk. Worse than when before. So I said, did you do exactly what I told you to do? So yes, every few hours I swallowed another one. He said, you swallowed? You need to suck on it.
Interesting.
And that's exactly the idea of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. One minute. We swallow it. We don't digest it. We don't, how do you say?
Savor it in your mind.
We don't save it in the mouth and do it.
Yes.
And melt it. That's the Seder night. Because the whole year, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. At that night, we do it slowly. Feel it. And we go with the taste of it out of the Seder night. Yes, sorry. What did you want to say?
I was going to say that when I was detailing, one of the doctors tells me that the patient came and told them that suppository you gave me don't work. He said, why? What'd you do? I took the suppository and I used it. Didn't you unwrap it?
Yeah, that's life. That's life.
We went to a class today about Pesach.
Yes.
I was recording this before. And she said that Tzvi, that her husband, last year, he told everybody they should close their eyes and they should listen to the building of the bricks, making the bricks, and feel as though they were slaves in Mitzrayim.
Yes.
And he says, lady says, close your eyes and hear the water. And we're leaving Mitzrayim and the water's separating.
Yeah.
And she says, to give you the image of going
The idea is to make this night interesting. And if you remember, I gave you a few ideas a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we try and go through them very quickly. For example, as we said, when you go to the plague of darkness, you put on the Shabbos clock,
yeah,
a few minutes dark, and then the kids and everybody realizes, says, see, you see nothing. That's Makat Choshech. That's dark, that's the plague of darkness. Yeah. And then if you want to make it even more effective, you take those shiny things in the dark, and you prepare it before, of course, and you put them around the room, and underneath each one of them, you put a present, a prize. And then when it gets dark, you ask the kids, do you see anything in the dark? That is the darkness plague. But the Jews, what happened in the darkness? They could see.
Yeah.
Do you see anything? And somebody says, oh, we see something shiny. Okay, go and look what you see. And all the kids will go around and find those shiny smiling, whatever you put them, that glow in the dark. And behind each one of them, you will have a present for them. You see, this is the plague of darkness. The Egyptian couldn't see anything, like you couldn't see in the minute it happened. But then the Jews saw all the treasures of the Egyptian, like you saw. And in this way, this is going to be something to remember. The kids will remember it for years. I did it, and it was unbelievable. Of course, you have to take consideration a few things. If you are not the owner, don't do it. And if you are the husband and you have the wife, you should tell your wife what's going to happen, because otherwise you will get a plague. So you have to do it in a clever way. And then there is another interesting idea that you can do. If you have kids, you buy those plastic cups and you give them to build pyramids on the floor. And when they are quite high, you just go to bring something from the kitchen, and by accident, you just break them all. I say, oi, 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 what did I do? And they start doing it again. And what do? You do it again. And then they start to be very angry, and says, don't worry. I just wanted to show you what is slavery in Egypt. Avodat Parech. They gave them to build a pyramid, and then they knocked them down. And gave, but don't worry, each one of you is going to get a prize. You have to be very careful not to do those things too much, because then the kids, instead of enjoying it, are going to get aggravated. And of course, not do everything. You do a few things, two things, three things is enough for a Seder night, because you want it to be something special. And there are a lot of ideas you can use. Like what you said, you can imagine to yourself going out of Egypt, how it is. And there are so many things. Like what I did is like four questions. You have the question of the Agoda. I did my own four questions. and I put it in envelopes, and I put also the answers in other envelopes. And each one chose an envelope and read the question, and another one read the answer. Or you can find the answer of the question if you have all the answers. You can do this as a game. You can make it very interesting. And yes, I sent it to you by mail a few years ago. And it's also very interesting. And of course, the questions are connected to the Agada. And through those questions and answers, you really put the whole story of the Agada. For example, one of the questions I asked is, also another thing I did. This is enough for today. Another game I did is, I don't know if you remember, I said I put the four kids, the Chacham, the Rasha, and the Tam, Shnei Yodei Lishol, and I said, like, Rasha, Ma Hu Omer? What is the Rasha saying? And you will have found out people are getting, because as you saw, the answer of the Rasha and the Chacham, the question is very similar. So people can sometimes make the mistake. And what is this guy? It looks alike. And this is also a game in order to put the old story of the four sons in a more interesting way than just reading it. Of course, you have to make it quite big so everybody can see it if you have a long Seder night or a lot of people in the Seder night. And as I say, the other idea of the questions is also very interesting. As we said before, if you remember, one of the questions was, is it possible, or would you thank one who hit you, injured you, and then hug you? Of course not. So how is it that we thank God for taking us out of Egypt, since He was the one who put us there? We talked about it before, 2 minutes ago. And the answer is, of course, that we have to understand that in order to become Am Yisrael, we had to go through this procedure. And I wrote the answer.
For 110 years, though?
You see, it's the same way. When you come, like if you come to the army and you become like, the one who sits on the office,
yeah.
So you have a training of 1 month. But if you want to be one of the special forces, you go through training of 3-4 months. And if you want even worse, you have sometimes training of half a year. It depends what soldier you want to become. Now, if you want to be, we want to be the commander of the special forces of God. So, in order to be the special forces of God, you have to go through special training, and then we become the special forces of God. So, in other words, and everything is good. It's nothing. It's not that God just hit a guy that hits us, and then we say thank you when he just comes and gives us a present. No, the whole thing, the whole idea is to understand that the whole procedure was good. And another question, I was just tweeting.
But the length of time, some of those people won't be there anymore.
What do you mean?
They'll be dead, I mean, after 110 years, I mean.
What, you build a building in 1 month? No, it takes years. You build a nation. In the desert also, it wasn't so easy. Those who went out of Egypt didn't go into Eretz Israel eventually. But that's not that's exactly also part of the idea. It's not me. It's Am Yisrael. The eternity of Am Yisrael. And we always talk about eternity and a figure of a spiritual thing. But it's not true. It's also a physical thing. When our children go on in our way, this is eternity. That's the eternity of us. Our children are the continuance of us. So if we give to the next generation the power, and they give to the next generation, that's the way it works. And another question, very briefly, of this will end today, is the question of what is more important? What is expensive or what is cheaper?
Which one is more important?
Yes. Normally we'll say, what's expensive is more important. So normally in nature, what is more expensive is something that you is very rare. And what is cheap is something that you have a lot. Right? So what is more important? What we have a lot or what is rare?
Well, what is cheap? Well, the sheep is more important because that's what we use more of.
In other words, if you think that what is more expensive is more important, no. What is more important is what you have more. And that's why we understand and realize that Yetziat Mitzrayim is important or not. As we said, you have to remember it every day, a few times a day. Like you have it so much. Why do we have to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim every day, a few times a day? Why? Because it is very important.
That was when we became a nation.
Yeah. So in other words, when we realize what it's all about and we prepare ourselves, if we put our thoughts now into preparation to Chlel HaSeder, so we give birth to a beautiful Seder night. A Seder night that will be remembered as an experience. And of course, we talked about a few ideas. There are much more. But the idea is to take a few of those things and make them interesting in a way of a game of questions and answers. You're talking about expensive and cheap. You know, this rich guy, he can have millions. Now he's in the desert. And he's got $2 million in his pocket. And his poor friend, it's got a glass of water. What is more important? Is 2 million or the glass of water? Bezrat Hashem, we'll prepare ourselves in a proper way to Seder night, and we'll have a beautiful Seder night, Bezrat Hashem.